4. There was no way for Maracy and Wayne to escape using the difficult route they'd taken to get here, not with the entire gang on their tails. Beyond that, she wanted to capture that cycle, who would certainly vanish after this. Unfortunately, all of this meant Wayne was right. So much for protocol. It was time to do this his way. They burst into the main tunnel where the other guard had his gun pointed toward them. Wayne tossed up a speed bubble, giving him and Maracy time to step aside and flank the guard. Once the speed bubble dropped, the gangster fired into now open space. Wayne was on him a moment later, laying into him with dueling canes. Maracy left him to it, instead picking her spot. Beyond the card table was a wide tunnel, presumably leading into the main warehouse cavern. She went to one knee and raised her rifle, sighting, calming herself, waiting. She fired the moment someone appeared from that direction. Only her training on the range prevented her from immediately trying to cycle the bolt on her gun. This was a new semi-automatic Bastion rifle, and so she kept it shouldered and downed the next person who stumbled over the falling body. Those behind called a warning, and no one dared come barreling in after that. Wayne wiped his brow, leaving an unconscious gangster on the floor.
"You got the magic boxes?"
"They're not magic, Wayne," Maracy said. "Malwish technology is just different, but magic boxes from your boyfriend. How many?"
"I have 3 allomantic grenades," she said, "all of the new design, and 2 flashbangs. Wax charged one of the grenades for me before we left."
"Nifty," Wayne said. "Got a plan?"
"You hold the tunnel. I'll go back to that overlook and toss some allomantic grenades to catch groups of enemies, then cover you as you move in. Once you're out of the line of fire, I'll follow."
"Good as done," Wayne said,
and they split, him heading toward the 2 people she'd dropped. There he picked up one of their handguns and fired it a bunch of times into the main chamber, not to hit, but to make those beyond take cover. His hand wobbled a little, and he tossed the weapon aside as soon as it was empty, but it was excellent progress. Not that he needed to be more deadly, she supposed. She left him, rounding to the overlook, which made a decent sniper spot. She picked out several groups of gangsters behind nearby boxes, watching as Wayne fired a second gun. Maracy carefully took a small metal box from the pouch on her belt. All her life she had suffered disappointment and even dismissal because of her useless allomantic talent. She could slow time around herself, which was, well, not much use. It essentially froze her to the perspective of everyone around her, removing her from a fight, giving the advantage to her enemies. She'd found occasional uses for it, but mostly she'd internalized the presumed truth that her abilities were weak. Then she'd met Alec. His people revered all metalborn, allomancers and ferrochemists alike. Though he'd been in awe of Wax and his flashy powers, Alec had been equally impressed with her abilities. She had one of the most useful allomantic skills, he claimed. That had been difficult to accept, but the upshot was that if you had access to a little specialized technology, you could turn the world on its head. Perhaps an inch and a half across, the allomantic grenade hummed as she burned cadmium, and it absorbed her energy. She wasn't swallowed by a bubble of slowness. With these new designs, all the power went into the box. She'd charged it earlier, but that had been hours ago, and she wanted to top it off. Then, judging the distance carefully, she tossed it toward a group of enemies who had gathered behind some boxes for cover. Her months of practice paid off. She managed to land the device right in the center of the gangsters, who, focused on Wayne, barely noticed it rolling among them. The grenade used etmetal, which was tightly regulated by the Malwish, so she didn't blame the gangsters for not knowing what to do. Even among the Malwish, these were rare. If the men had heard of the devices, and they might have since the set was known to employ them, they had likely never seen one. A second later, a bubble of slowed time popped up around the device, trapping about 10 of the men and women. She quickly topped off, then threw the second of her 3 grenades, this one aimed at a group of enemies farther along. Her aim was true, and she ensnared another 8. Calls of metalborn echoed through the cavern as the rest of the gangsters noticed that over half their number were frozen. Those would move in turgid slow motion as they tried to escape the bubble, but the 10-minute charge on the grenade would run out before they managed it. She unslung her rifle and laid down covering fire, even picking off two of those remaining, as Wayne slipped into the main chamber. He moved in a blur of speed for a moment, then popped out of his speed bubble and leaped over a cleft in the rock. It took a bit between uses for him to recover his talents and put up another bubble, but she swore that time was shrinking. He avoided the trapped people. She and he would deal with them later. For now, he took advantage of the confusion to get in close to a couple of enemies. They noticed him, but he became a blur again, then came in from above, dueling canes held high. Their shouts of pain distracted the others, which let Maracy pick off two more. Then she dashed back around to the main tunnel. Here she glanced into the warehouse cavern, then ran in a low crouch, careful to avoid the faintly shimmering perimeter bubbles of the grenades. She knew all too well how it felt to be surrounded by that molasses air while everything around you moved like lightning. Maracy found her own cover near some packing equipment, and as the remaining gangsters reoriented, gunfire began pounding the stone and metal around her. As a girl, she'd read all about Wax's exploits in the roughs, and the more she practiced her trade, the more inaccuracies she spotted. Sure, the stories mentioned gunfire, but they usually left out how loud it was when bullets struck. With them pelting the equipment around her, it sounded like she'd given little Max a set of drumsticks and let him loose in a kitchenware shop. A second later, the sounds slowed, like a phonograph playing at a fraction of normal power. The air shimmered near her, and Wayne slumped up against the equipment, a grin on his face, and a bloody wound on his shoulder.
"Sloppy," she said, nodding to the wound.
"Hey, now," he said. "Any fellow can accidentally get shot now and then, especially if he's running around with a pair of sticks in a room with lots of guns."
"How much bend alloy do you have left?"
"Plenty."
"You sure?"
"Yup."
"Wayne, I'm proud of you," she said. "You're actually saving it, being frugal like I asked."
He shrugged like it was nothing, but she was legitimately proud of him. He received an allotment from the department, and during the early days of their partnership, he'd always run out on missions. She'd been planning to talk to Captain Reddy about increasing the allotment, until she'd discovered that Wayne used his bend alloy for all kinds of non-combat, non-detective work. Playing pranks, changing costumes to delight children, the occasional casual thievery. It was good to see him doing better.
"How many idiots left?" he asked.
11, she said.
"That's higher than I can count."
"Unless you're doing shots in a drinking contest," Maracy said.
"Damn right," he said.
Together they peeked out from around the equipment, which was for nailing lids to crates. Wayne immediately yanked her back under cover. A bullet moving in slow motion hit the perimeter of the speed bubble, then zipped through the air above them in a flash before hitting the other side and slowing again. Bullets behaved erratically when they hit speed bubbles, and you could never tell which way they'd turn when entering one.
"Guy in the suit is escaping out the back," Wayne said. "You want to grab him or do you want to stay here and fight the rest of them?"
She bit her lip, considering.
"We'll have to split up," she said. "You're better with groups. You think you can handle this lot?"
"Aren't most of these boxes full of stuff what goes boom?"
"Yes."
"Sounds like fun to be had."
"You should have another 8 minutes or so on the grenades."
"Great," he said. "I'll see if I can take those sods alive. I can grab them one at a time from their slowness bubbles, using my bubbles to counteract. See, I've been practicing, been getting good at making mine bigger and smaller. She'll be able to walk to the edge of one of your bubbles, put up mine in a way to overlap one person, then pull them out."
"Wayne," she said, "that's amazing. Have you told Wax? It's really hard to control the size of your bubbles like that."
He shrugged.
"You ready?"
She retrieved the flashbangs from her pouch and handed one to him. Then she pulled the pin on the other to light the fuse.
"Ready," she said.
Even if he had plenty, bend alloy was rare and expensive. They needed to be careful with it. Wayne dropped the bubble, and she tossed the flashbang. After it detonated, they scrambled out on opposite sides of the machine. Wayne went for the last group of gangsters while she dashed after the cycle, who vanished through a reinforced metal door at the rear of the cavern. She reached it a moment later and picked the lock fairly easily. She spared a glance for Wayne, who was quickly being surrounded by enemies. He'd found cover behind a box marked explosives. He winked at her, then pulled the pin on his flashbang and dropped it inside.
Delightful.
Hopefully he knew what he was doing. Wayne's healing abilities were extraordinary, but it was still possible for him to take so much damage he couldn't heal. Any blast that separated his metal mines from the bulk of his body would leave Wayne dead, just like the Lord Ruler when he'd lost the bands of mourning centuries before. Well, she couldn't monitor Wayne all the time, and she most certainly couldn't survive an explosion of, well, of any size. She slipped through the door and pulled it closed with a loud thump. The entire cavern complex shook a few moments later, but she focused on her task. Heading into the dark cavern tunnel after the cycle, who, among everyone in the cavern, was most likely to have answers for her.